Chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward.
And we're actually going to gather over here by the baptismal font today, as opposed to in the middle. So, yeah, we're going to come over here today. Do you want to grab a cushion, guys?
Amos, come back.
All right, so what happens over here at the baptismal font?
We get baptized.
We get baptized. Do you remember your baptism?
Nope.
No? Amos, do you remember when you were baptized? No. I don't remember when I was baptized either. And I don't think most people here do. But do you remember when other people were baptized? Yeah. So, today in our devotional, have you seen this little thing? Your Advent devotional? Oh yeah. This is today's chrismon. Any idea what it is?
A flower?
It is a flower. It's a very particular flower. What are some really fancy flowers? Roses. It is a rose. So it's a white rose. So what do you think a white rose has to do with baptism? What happens in baptism? Yeah, that's what physically happens, right? Do you get your sins forgiven?
Yes.
So,
your sins always get forgiven,
right? And that's because you're baptized. White is the color of purity, right? So to be made pure is what happens in baptism, right? And do you make yourself pure in baptism? Because, I mean, I screw up all the time. Actually, I screw up a lot. Do you screw up?
I screw up
more. Yeah, you screw up more than I do? Oh, that's pretty bad. I don't even know that that's possible. So we don't make ourselves pure in baptism. Who makes us pure in baptism?
God
does, and the Holy Spirit. So who, Amos, do you want to put our ornament on our tree over there today? Well, it's right there. Doesn't look like the tree you have at home, I'm sure. How about one of you? All right. And here goes your ones for today. Nice and big and on cardstocks. You can make ornaments. Here, Amos. I I know you already have a color book at home, but this is a bigger one. All right, can we pray? I know you already have one, but this is a bigger one. Dear God, thank you for helping us even when we screw up, because we do it a lot. Amen. All right, let's move those cushions back.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Maker and our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A lawyer found himself facing a dilemma. He had just been made partner at his law firm, largely due to his work defending big chemical corporations in environmental lawsuits, when he was contacted by two farmers from West Virginia who believed that a local company was dumping hazardous materials in a local landfill, causing damage to their fields and causing their cattle to get sick or go insane or die. When the lawyer took the time to meet with the people and hear their stories, something shifted in him. He couldn't ignore their story and their related concerns, and he began a deeper investigation, seeking to expose the truth and hold the company responsible. This all led to a much wider societal consideration of perfluorooctanoic acid, the main ingredient in Teflon. This chemical was proven to remain in the environment without breaking down, including the water supply, and then thus in humans and animals who drank that water. And after that discussion, it has now been out of use for some 15 years or so. See, once the lawyer set off down that path, he knew that his career could not continue in the same way, and his approach to his work dramatically and decisively changed direction. Now, any of you who are film fans know that this is the real-life story of Cincinnati attorney Robert Billet, whose journey is chronicled in the newly released film Dark Waters. Though it is another in a long line of Hollywood's inspired individual risks reputation, career, health, and family in pursuit of doing what is right, taking on the corrupt and unjust corporate system, type of films. I think Billet's story presents an apt image of what we are asked to consider about ourselves and our relationship with the world around us in the season of Advent. Because each year Advent invites us into a time and mental space of preparation, making room in our hearts, our minds, our lives, and the world in general to receive the gift of the coming Christ once again. And part of that preparation for Jesus is making space for the ways and values of God that he brings. And to facilitate this process, every time we come to this second week of Advent, we hear the story of John the Baptist, who Matthew sees as a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the one who would call for God's people to prepare the way of the Lord. And when we reach this week each year, we are confronted with John's strong and direct message: repent. Repent is a word that has pretty much faded from our everyday use, and I imagine that if we do associate anything with the word, we might think of some majorly grave mistake or action or sin that has seriously insulted God or seriously harmed someone around us. It may seem too dramatic a term to really apply to us. And it does indicate dramatic change, but not necessarily change from singular actions that are so terrible or harmful in and of themselves. To repent indicates dramatic change of mind and direction. It is literally to turn around. It indicates turning around from the current ways and practices of the world, what one might call the old age, and its bondage to ways of idolatry and injustice and violence and scarcity, and to turn toward a new way, the new age of God that comes in Christ Jesus. Respected preacher and professor Ronald Allen makes the point that this repentance to which John calls the crowds in this gospel is about so much more than just feeling sorry for one's sins. He writes, in this context, repentance includes feeling sorry, but it's so much more. To repent is to take a clear-minded look at the ways in which one's life colludes with the assumptions and behaviors of the old age, to turn away from such complicity, and to turn towards God and the attitudes and actions of the realm of heaven. John the Baptist announces that this realm or reign of heaven has broken into the world in the coming of Christ Jesus, and the reign of God that Jesus brings offers an alternative way of living and being that places trust not in the false idols of wealth and security and consumption and privilege and dominance, but instead in the gracious, loving, and compassionate ways of God's reign through Christ Jesus. But whenever the old or current age and its status quo that allows some to live in relative comfort and causes others to struggle, whenever that is called into question, there are elements that we too struggle against and balk against. And the same is probably true with what we hear from John the Baptist today. We likely find it troublesome that when John comes to his conclusion, he uses this harvest imagery to speak of God burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. This seems to imply that not repenting, not turning around, not turning toward and embracing the reign of God leads to condemnation. But again, preacher Ronald Allen invites an alternate way of thinking about this concept. He says that when we do not cooperate or align ourselves with the ways and purposes of God's reign, we, in a sense, invite consequences and condemnations upon ourselves. We could say we become responsible for our own harmful and troubling situations that we find ourselves and our world in. Many of the things that we attribute to God not fixing, the things that we blame God for not making better, are in truth the result of our own behavior and our own choices. And so we see those harmful consequences in our lives and in this world that God made. But as we see in our other readings today, God's concern is not just with the way things are, but God's concern is for the needy, the ones for whom this current age is not working. And so Jesus brings this new age and this new reign of God, this new reign of heaven into this world. We know, though, that in the midst of the brokenness, it does not come to its complete fulfillment here and now. John's call to repentance doesn't take God's people or us out of the brokenness of this imperfect world, but empowers the people then and us now to press on with hope in the midst of that brokenness. And in our own sinfulness, we are encouraged to trust that God is moving us forward, moving us towards something new, something fuller, something more conducive to the peace and healing and reconciliation and justice for all that God desires. This, in a way, is the revelation that comes to Rob Billett in his work, that the world does not have to remain as it is, that a different way is possible and that doesn't cause so much harm and pain and distress for people or for creation. And as Rob Billett's life was transformed through his exploration and experience of water, so too are God's people invited to experience conversion through the gift of water. John calls people to baptism, to be immersed in waters that initiate those who repent into a new community, a community that together awaits the new age of God with hope. So too by our baptism, not just a baptism of repentance, but baptism into the fullness of the triune God's promises. We too are given the gift of the Spirit. We are prepared for witness to the world of the good news of all that God has done and is doing and will do through Jesus Christ, who is and who was and who is to come. The Spirit given in baptism continues with us, and in this Advent season, it encourages us to keep awake, to be aware of the dynamics around us, especially those that bind and harm God's people. And that Spirit calls us and pushes us and leads us to turn and go in a different direction. We are called to watch and to wait for the ways that the hope of God's reign breaks into our world, for the shoot that silently springs forth from the seemingly dead stump, for the gift of reconciliation and greater harmony when we take the risk of being vulnerable with one another, and for the fruit of repentance that ushers into us new ways of thinking and being and acting in relationship together. It calls us to turn to our God, who invites us and calls us and leads us into so much more, a larger and fuller gift of life lived in God's reign, beyond what we have ever known, through our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.